Give a gift to KPFK and yourself when you let us take your unwanted vehicle off your hands. Not only will your donation help support the on-air programs our community relies on every day, but you even qualify for a tax deduction. Go to kpfk.org/cars or call 877-573-5288. That's 1-877-KPFK-AUTO to learn more.
Yo, this is your brother Speech from the crew Arrested Development. You rocking with KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Oh, yeah, it's the Pojar Power, KPFK 90.7 FM, 3 o'clock. I'm Jeff Keller.
And I am Esteban Sewell, and thank you for tuning in.
Esteban is farther away from the studio than I am.
You know what? These mics need to be...
Man.
Something's wrong.
The yellow mic, young man.
Yellow mic. Oh. That was my nickname in high school.
I didn't know you was colorblind.
they called me Yellow Mike in high school.
Yellow Mike.
I don't know why. But nobody wanted to go in the pool when I was swimming.
Yeah, there's so many jokes on that right there. What's up, Lalo? What's going on?
That was it. Hey, it's Lalo Alcaraz, and it's the Pocho Hour Power. Another cold at night, warm in the day, kind of a day here, Friday. In Los Angeles. And how's everybody doing? You guys good?
Man, I'm good. I was just got done hiking up to the observatory and listening to the lies and manipulations by the orange one about his post with Obama and the monkeys.
Oh man, that's some disgusting stuff. Like, come on, man. It's 25th Amendment or throw them off the... Never mind, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say. But that was some racist BS.
Well, like you know, the craziness is, you know, he does that for distraction. So if he does a distraction that big, what's getting ready to happen where people are going to be like, oh, damn!
Well, I mean, have you seen all the allegations? I mean, can they get worse than what is already in... The Epstein files?
I know. They had to want. This wasn't a hot tip. This was actually something that was done under oath. A 13-year-old was talking about how he threatened the family if they said anything and that they would disappear. So
they would end up on the golf course.
Mm-hmm. On one of his many.
Yeah. Jeez. I know. Well, we're going to hear all about that from our D.C. correspondent, Patricia Guadalupe. We're also going to talk to our man in Mexico City, Frank Contreras. I'm sure he's going to report on lots of news that's happening in Latin America. And also, we've got some guests. We've got Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of renown. And we got so much more here on today's Pocho Hour Power.
Yeah, man. And, you know, Saturday, I'm going to be talking about the orange one at the Comedy Chateau, 7:30.
Oh,
say my name. Come in. Hey, you know what's so crazy now? Now when I do this whole thing about Trump at the beginning, when I talk about it's the greatest reality show of all time, and then I do a part in my show where I go, I'm going to say something nice to him about him. The whole crowd yells out, no, don't do it. Why? Oh. That's horrible. Don't say nothing nice.
No,
don't do it.
Of course, you're talking about Orange Julius.
Orange Julius.
Yes. I remember that guy. He used to have a stand in the mall.
Still does.
Really?
In the Midwest.
Refreshing.
But no, it's crazy.
Right next to Yellow Mike's.
Yes.
Right next to Yellow Mike's.
It's crazy, though, how the crowds has shifted. Where, you know, now they're yelling. Don't. Before, they would be kind of nervous about it. Now they don't care. They're tired of it.
I think everybody's exhausted, right? We're all exhausted.
Yeah. I am. I saw where Europe now, there's people in Europe and other countries now want to see the Epstein files so they can press charges on people.
Oh, yeah. They kicked Prince Philip out the royal, on his royal keister.
Yes, he did.
I mean, he partied hard.
Well, yeah.
A lot of these, there's all, Casey Wasserman. I was actually working on a cartoon about that for my job at Calo News. Please check it out, calonews.com. About Casey Wasserman, head of the LA Olympics Committee. Yeah. He's in the Epstein files.
Mm-hmm. Also has a sports agency.
Oh, does he? Wow.
Mm-hmm, my buddy Howe worked for him. He got like the top NBA players, I believe.
And what else did he get?
We'll talk about that off air.
But my favorite thing about the Epstein files is that there are no Mexican immigrants in them.
Nope. And they didn't want any black women on Epstein Island. So ain't no black people involved.
Oh, yeah. I like that when people say racism. It finally worked.
Worked in our favor.
Well, I think it's time to strike up the band and hear it directly from our voice in D.C.
All right. Let's start them up. Wake them up. Let's go.
Patricia Guadalupe, Bojo correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Woo!
Hey, hello, two more days for you to learn Spanish.
That's right.
Bye, Bonnie.
Be in.
Hello, folks. Once again, it's that time of the day and that day of the week where we give you the latest in the circus in Washington. And, you know, I couldn't have predicted, even in my wildest nightmare, this whole thing with this meme and the Obamas.
Oh, God.
A completely disgusting, vile, and racist meme. And if you have no idea what we're talking about, early this morning, or actually it was last night, the president posted on his Truth Social a video that included superimposed photos or, you know, like an AI kind of thing with Michelle and Barack Obama, former president and first lady, depicted as apes in a completely racist trope where the video, it's actually like a minute long video where it also included Trump walking around as the king of the jungle and Hillary Clinton is one of the animals and Chuck Schumer, all of the Democrats.
Well, I saw Trump more as the cowardly lion.
Well, that's probably what a lot of folks would probably want you to think. But the White House defended this when it came out and said that the press secretary said, This is fake outrage. This was a video that depicted the Lion King. And people were saying the White House is so damn stupid. They don't even realize that there are no apes in the Lion King.
Nope.
You can't even do your racism correctly. It was just a vile, disgusting thing that was up for 12 hours, more than 12 hours, actually, just recently taken down. And the White House turned around and said it was a low-level staffer that put it up, which nobody believes because the president himself has said that only he and the deputy chief of staff, Dan Scavino, have access to his Truth Social account.
And he did it overnight, right? So
yeah.
So it has poop. It has poop marks all over it from him and being in the toilet. Man, come on.
Pretty much, you know, after eating, you know, the 4 or 5 cheeseburgers that he has every night, you know. One of the wildest responses was from Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, who is the only African American Republican in the Senate. He says, that was the most racist thing I've ever seen coming from the White House. And I hope he apologizes. I hope it's not true. Well, as you can imagine, Senator Scott was crucified on social media for this, saying, it took you all of this time to finally come to the realization that a guy that has a long history of racism, going back to his days as a real estate guy in New York, now all of a sudden you realize, well, maybe there may be a problem. I mean, it was just an unbelievable thing, incredibly embarrassing for the country out there, for the world out there, that on the same day that the Olympics are being, you know, the Winter Olympics are opening in Milan, Italy, where J.D. Vance went and Marco Rubio went to represent the U.S. And during the opening ceremonies, when the U.S. team came out, everybody cheered and the cameras panned over to J.D. Vance and his wife. And there were loud, really loud boos and cheering. And it's funny because NBC showed it for a couple of minutes, then muted it. But the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation showed it the entire time, and it was pretty loud.
Yeah, it was.
Loud. If you haven't seen it, check it out when you get a chance. But you know,
but he was there for the couch surf competition, right?
Yeah, the curling. You know, he thought the curling competition was actually the curl up in the couch competition, you know, and not the actual curling competition, which
they have a kind of a couch race, and they call it the splooge.
Yeah, they got the couch. They got the couch sled, you know, on the yes.
You know, so you have these two very insane things going on. With the president, as you said, you know, trying to distract everybody from the Epstein files and another dump of information that the Department of Justice said that on Monday they're going to have some members of the Senate and the House look at unredacted portions of the files. But it is reverberating all over the place, not just here in the States, but also in the UK, with the prime minister getting in hot water because the former ambassador from the UK to the US is embroiled in this whole thing. Prince Andrew, or the former prince now. These kinds of things are making the Trump folks tank in the ratings, as you can just imagine. And so they try and come up with all of these ridiculous things to try and distract people from talking about what everyone's not talking about, which is what is really inside of the Epstein files, what is really going on with that. And because they don't even know how to do racism correctly, they go and they come out with this unbelievable trope of, you know, the former first couple on top of, you know, portraying them as apes, which is just so unbelievable. And then, of course, the insanity continues a little bit with the senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, who wants a full investigation into why Ketanji Brown Jackson was at the Grammys. Because I'm not making this up, people. Because why should an impartial Supreme Court justice be at the Grammys? Because the Grammys has become way too political. And oh my God, I want the Chief Justice. She sent a letter to the Chief Justice.
Oh my God.
I want a full investigation. Now, the reason why Ketanji Brown Jackson was there was she was nominated in storytelling recording category. She ended up losing to the Dalai Lama, which is pretty cool. You're going to lose. That's a pretty cool person to
lose. Oh, my God. Separation of church and Grammys.
I know, isn't it? So, you know, you have the Senate here, which hasn't really done much of anything.
It's crazy.
Barely closing down the government for about a day and a half before they finally funded it for the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to come back in the next couple of weeks to talk about that. But in the meantime, let's distract everybody with a letter to the Chief Justice saying, why is Ketanji Brown Jackson at the Supreme Court and racist tropes and getting booed at the Olympics? We're living inside of a kind of a cartoon, like a Monty Python skit, except it's not funny, you know?
Yeah.
It's more pathetic than anything else.
Well, one of the things that was in Epstein Files that came out, and this was said under oath, that the witness said, I personally witnessed defendant Trump telling the plaintiff that she shouldn't ever say anything if she didn't want to disappear like the 12-year-old female, and that he was capable of having her whole family killed. And this was said under oath.
Yeah, see? I mean, it is really unbelievable. All of the things that are coming out with the Epstein files, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands upon thousands of pages, and we only have a fraction of what is really out there in these files, and that's why you have this bipartisan Roy Khanna and his Republican counterpart on the Oversight Committee saying we're not going to let this die. Right. We're going to do an investigation, and they actually have the former President Clinton and the First Lady Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State and Senator, of course, saying, "Yeah, we're going to go and we'll come and testify, sure, about the whole our supposed role in the Epstein files and what's going on with that." But here's the thing.
Come on
if
now.
If they testify, they say, well, during any kind of discovery, that all of the stuff that comes out about Trump will have to come out. And this is why Trump has been very silent. As in fact, he told the NBC anchor Tom Yamas yesterday in a interview, "Oh, I like Bill Clinton. I think he's a cool guy." And Hillary's not bad either. it is almost comical
because they wanted the Clintons to tape it, and the Clintons said no because they knew they would manipulate the tape, and said no, we want to do it live.
Oh yeah, we want to come into the committee live and in public.
Yes,
none of this stuff. Anybody who tapes it is going to have to go through C-SPAN to do that. We're not doing any kind of private thing. No. And so there's that possibility that they're going to come to the to the committee sometime later this month. But it is a wild time to be here in the nation's capital with all of this insanity going on.
Patricia, as far as what's happening in the states with ICE and all the stuff, the militarization of blue states is basically what's going on right now. Do you think this is like some kind of a precursor to the midterms where he's trying
to... Oh, sure.
This is all about this intimidation and occupation, right?
I mean, why was Tulsi Gabbard the director of national intelligence, which for her is an unbelievable misnomer. What was she doing in Georgia overseeing a bunch of boxes taken from the voter files in Georgia to investigate the 2020 election? Come on, people. 5 years, 6 years, almost 6 years later.
I think she said she had tickets to the Ludacris concert. I'm not sure.
And you know, the funny thing is that she was trying to hide from being there, that she was wearing a baseball cap at the same time and kind of dressed down. And then somebody recognized her and said, "Hey, what's going on?" I mean, they're really trying to, they know that.
Hey, aren't you that Russian spy?
Yeah. At this point. At this point, she's probably more recognizable.
What team do you play
in the baseball
for?
Cap and the shades, right?
Yeah, well, remember
she's skulking around everywhere that way.
Remember, she wrote a book where she said that she personally met with a North Korean leader, which turned out not to be true, not even on Zoom. So,
the craziness though is they want to federalize the elections. Yeah. That's the craziness of the whole thing.
And by federalizing, we mean that the federal government would be in charge of running elections in every single state and D.C. Yep. And of course, that would be unconstitutional.
Right. He wants to get his greasy orange devils all over those voting.
Well, he'd have ICE at every voting.
That's the plan. That's what they've been talking about. So
at every state. Every county.
And the attorney general was asked about that. Is it really true that you're going to have that the ICE people are going to be there? And she basically deflected and she said, well, you know, Kristi Noem and I and Tulsi Gabbard, we're really close. And so we work closely together and we share information, which is kind of scary for the FBI. And the Justice Department and the Attorney General and the, you know, Homeland Security and everybody to be sharing information. What do you need to be sharing information about voters?
Like, yeah, it sounds like a conspiracy or collusion, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to either scare people from going to vote by having ICE people around or suppressing the vote by taking away mail-in ballots or making it really difficult to vote. They're going to try as much as possible with these upcoming midterms, which are basically right around the corner, to get as much of their people in there. And then they can say, well, if we lose, then obviously there was some kind of conspiracy, because if they're still talking about the 2020 elections almost 6 years later, you know that this is because they're trying to do some funny baloney related to the midterm elections.
But I heard that actually Trump is trying to do away with all correspondence voting except for strippograms. Is that true?
I'll have to get back to you on that. Okay. And I'll check with Melania. She probably has some information.
It's in a documentary. but you know, the people don't understand, if he gets a hold of all these voting, that he'll just start taking away people's names off there, right? He'll just start just if you're a Democrat, he's just going to take your name off there. So when you show up, your name won't even be able, you won't be able to vote.
Juan Valdez, I never heard of him.
Or if you have a name that's similar to somebody else that got picked up by us or something, I mean, don't be surprised. They're going to try everything possible, to try and get people to, not go to the polls or to scare them. Because if you're scared to go to the supermarket because there's an ICE person out there, or you're scared to take your kids to school because of ICE, what is going to make you not be scared to go vote if you're not going out when you need to do essential things? Right. Even though voting is essential, people are not going to doctor's appointments. They're asking their friends to pick up groceries for them. Some people are doing homeschooling or remote learning with their kids. What's going to happen with the state of Oregon, for instance, that does all their elections in mail-in balance if they take all that out.
And we're talking about American citizens. Like I told Lyle, I told a story last week. My sister was going to the store and got caught up in traffic by elementary school, and an ICE agent tried to snatch her.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
they said, do you know who the Pochos are?
Yeah, she goes, you look like Jeff's sister.
And you know that we've talked about this before on the show that they've come back after black and brown people for the longest time, but they shoot white people now, and then all of a sudden everyone's outraged. And so, you know, I'm not saying that there should be more white people shot and killed, but because it is a sad commentary, too, that this has been going on for a really long time. And it's only now when people are saying, oh, but they shot some citizens. Well, you know, they shouldn't be shooting anybody, citizen or not.
Yeah,
you know?
And those damn ICE agents that shot that nurse, they were Latinos, right? Which is crazy. Like,
yeah,
that's the first time I've seen any brown people get away with murdering a white man in public like that.
Not yet.
I want to see them.
Well, yeah, the jury's out still, but
I want to see what happens at their niece's quinceañera when they show up. You know,
well, hopefully they'll be buried under the Border Patrol jail, but I doubt it. But Patricia Guadalupe, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour of Power. We got a packed show, so we got to move it along. I'm so sorry.
No, but that's
we'll see
okay.
You next time.
Most definitely. And I want to give a shout out to Olivia Martinez listening from Madrid, Spain, and my sister Rebecca listening from Michigan, man. They say you should have a call in so that they can ask questions. So we got to extend the show one day.
That's right. Thank you, Patricia Guadalupe. We'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power.
All right. See you next week, man.
All right.
You won't get down with this.
Hey, let's take a short break, and we're back. We're on schedule. We're on schedule. Yes, almost.
Yes. Keep saying that. You're going to jinx it, Lalo.
We got Meredith Brown, renowned. I don't even remember my poem. I do. But I'm so excited we're on schedule. But we'll be right back with her and more Pocho Hour Power after this.
Simon.
Are you looking for a unique way to support Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles? KPFK's vehicle donation program not only supports public radio, but it helps you get a tax deduction too. The process is easy. Just call 877-KPFK-AUTO. That's 877-KPFK-AUTO.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
Oh, yeah. KPFK 90.7 FM, the Pocho Hour Power. We're back and we're on time, Lalo.
Yeah, we are in full effect, man.
And on the line we have, for her regular immigration segment, it's Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of great renown. Welcome back to the Pocho Hour Power. What's up, Meredith?
Oh, hello. We're back from Guatemala, believe it or not.
Wow.
That's right.
So glad they let you back in.
Tell us about the
you
trip.
You want to hear something? You want to see you
yes.
being so funny, Lalo. We were in meetings, right? And we were talking about how they're arresting people. And people were kind of afraid because, you know, state of siege in Guatemala. And, you know, maybe even shooting sometimes. And then we all stopped and we were saying, we're talking about Guatemala or the United States.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Kidnappings, the whole deal.
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's been some points of tension with the police department. Al revés, right? So some of the organized crime people have been attacking the police because they're being controlled by the attorney general, who's kind of corrupt, and she's on her way out, and her team because they have these weird periods where the president really cannot have influence over her or control her. So she's on her way out. So there's some political tensions. That's why there's a state of siege. That's in part why we went. We went to talk to some of the people that have been deported. Heartbreaking stories, but we're there to see if we can find any people that we can help to come back with a pardon, if they have a U case, a U visa, some of the minors that have been removed before that have pending CIJS or special immigrant juvenile status. We're helping those folks as well. We're also talking about getting the vote in El Exterior for the Chapines, for the Guatemalans, and trying to get that whole system set up and running quickly, because I believe the presidential elections are next year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And but, so they're trying to get...
I'm sorry. Pardon? I was going to say, do they think it's safer in the United States? Because I think it might be... It's dangerous in either country right now, right?
That's true, but I mean... Think about, especially the Guatemalans, they don't have TPS, they don't have any protection, kind of like La Comunidad Mexicana, right? They don't have those protections, and they've been here for decades, right? In some cases, their English is better than their Spanish. So this is home for them. I know it's true. They're right now for this period of time in history, it's horrible, but it'll get better. I know it will, but so it's their decision too. So we want to make sure we're getting out the information to the community, and we want to use that same model in Honduras, Nicaragua, Mexico to organize the deported folks so that they can have that option, right? So that's what that was another thing. And then there are two political prisoners, Luis Pacheco and Héctor Chaclán, who are indigenous leaders, and they helped Arevalo get into office. I don't know if you guys remember, but there was this whole confrontation about whether or not he can assume the presidency, and they were trying to do a golpe de Estado, basically, through the political opposition, the corrupt elements. And so the indigenous population stepped up, shut down the country, shut down the streets. But now, you know, almost 2 years later, they're coming after some of the indigenous leaders. So we got into the prison, and we visited them, and that was incredible. And they're actually going to have yet another hearing, and they were trying to get them to see how they can get bonded out, basically, and get those charges dismissed.
How long have they been incarcerated?
They've been there for about 10 months. Okay. In April, it'll be a year.
Wow.
And it's completely unfounded. They said that they were instigating violence when, of course, they weren't. Kind of what's going on here with some of the protesters, right? Painting them as terrorists when they're not. So that was another thing. Because I think it's really important. I mean, for me, emotionally and psychologically, to kind of take a break from all of this in the United States and go to Guatemala as I've gone and to other countries, it's really, really good to kind of see what's going on there. But yeah, we don't have the same moral authority as we did. I mean, not that we had a lot before, right? You know, historically. Yeah. Being kind of imperialist as the government is here. But, you know, still, it's we learn from one another. And it's, you know, the Zoom stuff is good. That's why I'm on, you know, between us guys, we're on camera. But it's just that we have to have that human connection, I think. And we went to Antigua and we, you know, hung out. We ate together, learned about the culture more. It was just beautiful. I highly, highly recommend getting out of the United States. And, you know, kind of seeing what's going on, because, you know, there's a lot of parallels and there's a lot of connections with immigration, obviously, right? People are there because of the deportation machine. We're talking 60,000 people that have been deported to Guatemala. And of that, I'm sure there's a percentage of people that can come back. And that's one of the things we're trying to establish. We're probably going to open, not my office, but through a nonprofit. We'll do some nonprofit stuff there. Open an office. So it was really cool. Highly recommend it. Some important things are going to be happening in the next few months in Guatemala. Guatemala is so strategic because of its location, because of its fairly good relationship with Marco Rubio, you know, at least with him. Whereas like Nicaragua, no, there's no relationship. El Salvador is kind of transactional. But yeah, it was really, really good. And we're going to keep on struggling and fighting and, you know, trying to get the word about people's rights here in the United States as well, for sure.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that, I cannot recall ever hearing about an immigration attorney doing a field trip, you know, back
field trip
back out there to help people and spread the word. So, you know, good job on that. Congratulations. And what insight, you know? Like, we got to get reminded, yes, there's a whole planet out there. And I just wanted to ask, were the government people, are they cool with you? Or did you get any help from them? Or beside maybe the prison people?
Yeah, I mean, we got into the prison, which was, you know, good for a visitation with Luis Pacheco and Hector Chaclan. Actually, you know what? Their immigration director was so cool. We met with him for the Institute of Immigration in Guatemala, the people that are receiving the people that are being deported. And they said, absolutely, if you guys want to help us have, like, I'm thinking in Spanish, encuesta, like a questionnaire to see who is who might have a pending case. We can, like, ask them, hey, do you have a petition? Did you have a pending court case? Because people who have a court case should not be deported. You know, if they're before an immigration judge,
yeah,
they should have their final say and have it, you know. So there's no tracking going on. And so we had a meeting with the director of immigration, and they said, absolutely, let's get it together. So we're literally doing follow-up with that. We're going to invite the president of Guatemala to Los Angeles in August for a convention, a national convention with the Guatemalan community. It'd be awesome. I'm sure that and I'm sure there's that sort of coordination going with activists around Mexico and Claudia Sheinbaum, you know, to visit the United States. But it's happened before. We try to do these conventions to get people, you know, excited about their rights. There's like this week of the Guatemalan, the Semana de Chapin, and they have festivals and people party. We want to be like, you know, the one that's pushing the political information as well as the legal information and know your rights type of thing. And if we do get the president of Guatemala to come to Los Angeles, we're going to get a huge amount of people from across the country to come. We want to honor him before the LA City Council. And we, you know, there's lots of really good ideas. We're also going
to
work.
Can I just say, don't let him go to Home Depot.
Right? I'll let him know.
I said,
well, not that it helps, but he speaks fluent English, right? That doesn't help anymore.
It don't matter.
My goodness, you're so funny. No, and the other thing is, we're trying to organize Mandami in New York and Karen Bass and maybe even the governor's office to put pressure on the attorney general to make sure to get the political prisoners freed, because under Arevalo, who's progressive, he's very good as a president, but he just doesn't have the political power yet to release these folks and to drop the charges. So that's kind of, you know, we're doing up to good trouble, right? Who is it that
says that?
Yeah, we like to do the good trouble, and it's motivating to see folks that could be arrested, like here and there. It used to be just there, but now, you know, I'm surrounded by so many brave people that are doing writs of habeas corpus, you know, doing immigration court work as I'm doing. But, you know, we're not alone. And I think that's, you know, I don't know how much more time we have, but in closing, we need to have community. We need to have community. We need to come together and be inspired by our different fuertes. Like, you are just you just keep us sane, Lalo, you know?
I adore that's you ironic. Guys.
You do such great work, and it's national, it's syndicated. So important that you keep doing that, because if we don't have that groundedness in our humor, we'll lose our minds.
Well, thank you, Meredith. I just want to say that my favorite immigration news this week was Liam, our little conejito, coming back home with his dad. And that little girl, too. And I'm blanking out her name. Her name was not so cheap, but it was the elevation of the idea that all the kids need to come home is, of course, number one. And it's a great thing that happened because of Liam coming back and the spotlight on him. So, but yeah, you're right. We got to go. So Meredith Brown, thank you so much. And we're so happy that you went to Guatemala and you came back.
And if people just want any more information about our campaign to free the political prisoners in Guatemala, it's infolegal.org. info.legal.net, because information is power, right? Legal information is power. So it's infolegal.net, or infolegal. How do you say that in English? Infolegal.net.
Okay. Thank you, Meredith Brown. We'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour Power.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to a tiny short break right now and come back with our man in Mexico City, Frank Contreras.
Tiny short break, I said.
Oh, we talk about real short. Like short, short.
Shorty short.
Like too short.
It's a shorty party.
And Frank, that's your theme song now.
All right, I love it.
Welcome, yeah. Frank Contreras, live from Mexico City, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hanging out with you guys today. Listen to the radio. Listen to Meredith Brown. I always get a good education hearing what she's up to in Guatemala. And we're keeping a close eye on what's happening throughout the region, from the U.S.-Mexico border all the way down to South America, into the Caribbean, Latin America, here in Mexico. And you guys know there's my dog. She's chiming in for the
dog. Border Patrol dog or what? Yeah. Oh,
no, dog. No, she's on the good side. She's on the good side. Yeah, we were keeping an eye on Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem's crazy show in Nogales, Arizona, on the border with Nogales, Mexico. And, you know, she's trying to tell folks that, you know, that she's bringing security and that things have been so dangerous. People from those communities beg to differ. They say that they've been good, friendly neighbors for a very long time. And that's happening all along the U.S.-Mexico border, aside from the side shows that you get from the current government in Washington.
Hey Frank, real fast, I know that what Itzy is mad about, an ICE agent was spotted drop-kicking a little dog.
Yeah, that would,
in an action next week, man.
And oh, man.
Maybe finally everyone will be outraged in the U.S.
Oh, man. Yeah, Mexicans are keeping a real close eye on what's happening. We're watching the news on detention centers in the United States, the blow-by-blow in the streets of Minneapolis. It's really sickening, and Mexicans know that what's taking place. So, you know, keeping an eye. There's lots of solidarity from the South, guys. We're also keeping a close eye on what's happening in Cuba. You guys know that Trump toppled the government of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. That ended a very important oil supply that was really driving the Cuban economy. And right now, Cuba's economy is really suffering. There's a major blockade that's been going on for what, guys? All of our lives, 50, 60 years, right?
Yeah.
This has really been something that's had a major impact on lives there. I mean, we've heard stories in the last year or two that, you know, there's many blackouts, outages of electricity, things like that. Things are so bad that they can't even use fans to blow away the mosquitoes at night. People are getting dengue because of that. It's been a difficult time, but now things look like they're actually getting worse. If you can imagine, Marco Rubio, the U.S. Secretary of State, is openly talking about regime change in Cuba, where his family comes from. We know that the powerful Cuban-American lobby in the United States have become policymakers there. And so, you know, you hear Donald Trump saying things like he'd like to open Trump Towers in Cuba. He says that he wants to do what no other U.S. president has done before, that is bring capitalism back to the island in Havana and back to that Caribbean nation. But Cuba does have some advantages, guys. Cuba's holding tight. They're doing what they can. They're looking for help. They're getting some help from Mexico. We'll get into that in a second here. But we should point out, you know, the Cuban government does count heavily on its military. They're a deeply loyal military. It makes it very difficult for U.S. agents to infiltrate the government there, to try to come into Cuba and try to force regime change through that method. Also, you know, Cuba's an island. It controls all of its borders. That's unlike most other countries throughout Latin America. So, you know, Cuba's doing what it can to hold tight. But talking to a friend there this past week over the WhatsApp messaging system, he tells me that, yeah, things are looking really, really tough. Now, Cuba has been counting on Mexico, a very good friend to Cuba, in recent years. In 2025, I don't know if you guys know, maybe we mentioned it here, but Mexico surpassed Venezuela and became the leading supplier of oil to Cuba in 2025. And now President Claudia Sheinbaum is saying that she's doing all she can to negotiate with the Trump administration so that Mexico can continue to provide all important humanitarian aid. That includes things like oil, but also food, real basic things like that. So you guys keep a close eye on what's happening in Cuba. There are good people there. You get this message that, you know, it's a communist nation, whatever the propaganda is. You know, they're good people. They're just trying to get ahead over there. And they're having a big struggle. The Cuban president, Miguel Díaz-Canel, is saying that what Trump's engaging in is something like state terrorism. He's using what the Cuban president calls economic genocide, trying to choke off the Cuban people from any kind of ability to drive their economy. If you eliminate oil, you can't even do things like agriculture, right? You can't harvest the crops and bring them to the cities. You can't feed people. And so it's really a tough situation right now. The Mexican government and the Mexican people are keenly aware. Mexico has had a very special relationship with Cuba since the revolution and before, more than any other Latin American country probably. And remember, Mexico never broke off ties, diplomatic ties or economic ties with the island nation, Cuba. So Claudia Sheinbaum standing by trying to negotiate in the back, off camera with the Trump administration, trying to, you know, calm things down so that humanitarian aid can continue to flow. The United Nations is also very concerned. They say, you know, we're on the brink of a serious crisis in Cuba if that economy is completely choked off and fuel is not allowed into that country. So we're keeping a close eye here on the Pochar of Power on that situation, Cuba and Mexico. Mexico running some risks with the possibility of supplying aid to Cuba. Donald Trump has been very clear. He says, you know, we're going to create havoc for any Latin American country or any nation that tries to provide any kind of support to the Cuban people. So that's one thing that we're keeping a close eye on here on the Pochar of Power, dudes.
But lots of countries aid Cuba, right? I mean, currently.
Well, you know, there has been aid coming from countries around Europe, parts of Asia, of course, the former Soviet Union, Russia, and even China. China has been trying to get solar panels into the country so that they can have electric power to that country. But right now, there's a major blockade, and it looks like it's just tightening. And so, you know, Cuba does get some support, and a lot of it has been coming from Mexico.
Yeah, well, that's good. I hope, there's nothing to exploit there for Americans except real estate, I guess.
Real estate, maybe tourism, if Trump can get that back going. Some pundits say that this could be a win-win situation for Cuba and Trump. If he can get his towers back there, the golden towers of Trump and tourism, you know, U.S. Disneyland-style tourism back in Cuba, a lot of Cubans just don't want anything to do with that. So, you know, this continues. This situation continues.
They'd rather have the golden arches than the golden towers.
Yeah, the golden whatevers.
Yeah, they
would. I won't go into what goldens, but yeah, that's. And as Patricia Guadalupe said, you still have about 48 hours to learn Spanish if you haven't done that yet. Mexico's keeping a close eye on the Super Bowl. Outside of the United States, the biggest fan base for the NFL is right here in Mexico. People have jerseys from every team you can imagine. And they're going to be watching the halftime show with Bad Bunny speaking in Spanish. And
yeah, what are they saying? What are Mexicans saying about all this the hoopla about the Spanish and Americans not knowing that Puerto Rico is part of the U.S.?
Well, you know, Mexicans shrug their shoulders because they know that the Puerto Rico has been part of the United States for all this time, for so many decades. And we also know there's a colonial history taking place there. And so, you know, Mexico knows that a lot of the message that Bad Bunny's trying to spread is about that colonial history. You look at that album that won the major Grammys, Best Album of the Year, some of the lyrics talking about the colonial history in Hawaii and comparing that to Cuba, things like that in the lyrics. So, you know, I think...
Another important question, though, is why is there no Stephen Miller pinata? We've been scratching our heads
off. Hey, that's a good idea.
Because they make the children cry.
They don't know what's in the candy.
His head hold is big enough to hold a lot of candy, Jeff.
But you know, the Super Bowl, what MAGA and these people don't understand, is worldwide, and Bunny's music is worldwide. So when they're talking about, well, we're going to not watch it, yeah, but everybody else in the world is, and that's all the NFL cares about, because they're trying to
colonize the world with football.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. They really are. Really, that's what they're trying to do.
Exactly.
Thanks for jumping on my line here, buddy.
They have a giant fan base here south of the border, and lots of Mexicans will be watching. And in the United States, a lot of you guys will be watching the Super Bowl, a lot of listeners, KPFK, the Pocho Hour of Power. And a lot of people will be eating, as they do every year, guacamole, right? That's kind of a tradition in the United States, believe it or not. And, of course, that affects Mexico's economy. Mexico is the world's largest producer of avocados. You guys know that. We're whipping up the guacamole as we speak here in the kitchen of Pocho Hour Power, Mexico City Bureau. And Mexico this year sold about 130,000 tons of avocados to the United States, all being exported just in time for Super Bowl guacamole bowls.
Yep. And two tons of those went bad in my kitchen.
Right, and we also need them to send their abogados.
Abogados.
Well, Meredith Brown is part of that.
Exactly.
Hey, Frank, I want to tell everyone that is going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm working on a musical album called Contra Ice. I'm the art director, and we're doing an action at the Super Bowl, and we're handing out free rally towels with one of my cartoons on them. And hopefully we're going to look for them around the fourth quarter, around 4:20.
You'll be in the stadium on Sunday then, huh?
Yeah. So we'll see.
You going to be in the stadium?
No.
I was going to say, because those are hard. Right.
Yeah. I don't have tickets, Jeff. You didn't get me any.
Well, this is what people don't understand. Three-fourths of the tickets go to the sponsors, and the players get two tickets. In the league, they can buy two tickets. So only one-third of the tickets goes to the fans.
Oh, well. That's why I didn't get a ticket. Thank you, owners,
man.
And fans. Frank Contreras, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour Power, bro.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys. Take good care, man. See you soon.
All right. Guacamole time.
Oh, man.
Guys, our next guest, are they ready?
We got the music going. They got to be on.
All right. Sarah Day on the Pocho Hour Power. Right back. Let's hear some music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, it's in Oakland.
Santa Clara, Oakland.
Santa Clara, it's the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing. San Francisco. No, Jeffrey, Oakland and Santa Clara are two very different things.
We know we back. Come on, man.
God
dang.
Don't get me started on arguing about Bay Area geographics.
My bad. Anyways, Lalo, I had tickets to go to the NFC party after the game. I'm going to see if I can get your name on there. Yeah.
All right. Except where? In San Jose, Santa Clara?
Well, you know, it's I'll have to call and find out. But they do an NFC party where all the players go in an AFC party.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, yeah. There's stuff I was supposed to go to, but I decided not to go because I was too lazy. Right.
Hey, well, we are joined on the phone, correct?
Yes.
Sarah Day.
Yes.
There
Hello.
She is. There she is.
There you are.
What's up, Sarah?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing marvelous. Tell us
wonderful.
Tell us what you got going on, girl.
What's that?
Tell us what you got going on.
Oh, I got a Valentine's Day show at the Shoreline Village. I'm featuring in Long Beach from 1 to 5. Super excited about, you know, having a free concert for the community. And, yeah, it's from 1 to 5. It's free. Long Beach, Shoreline Village. I'll be performing this single, Catch Me If I Fall, as well with Chucky Booker, legendary producer.
Yes, no Chucky.
Yeah, legendary producer from, you know, he did Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation Tour, Lionel Richie's musical director, also Tina Turner, Ray Charles, all kinds of legends.
And he had his own hits.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm super honored to be working with him. And this is a single we did. So I'm pushing the single. Appreciate the support. And also, I have a new song coming out with Narda Michael Walden. And I'll be performing that as well this Valentine's Day, 1 to 5. It's a family affair. All welcome. And looking forward to having y'all come down.
Those are some big hitters right there, Michael Walden and Chucky Booker, man. So you around some greatness.
I am, and I'm honestly, I'm so wonderfully blessed and grateful. It's taken a lot of years out here in L.A., but I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Yes. You're making your dream come true, right? I mean, a lot of the fun is the struggle, but, you know, you don't always think it's fun when you're struggling, but it's good to hear.
The hustle's real.
The hustle is real. It's unmatched. We're very proud of you. And how has it been? I mean, it's a different musical landscape, you know, from like 10 years ago. I mean, you know, a lot of people can't kind of put out a record and do all that footwork, you know.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, no, things have been very different, but, you know, we're plugging on through, pushing through, and I'm excited for, you know, some of my best work yet, and I'm going to be announcing a new residency coming up soon in L.A., because I've been doing a residency for, since I've been in L.A., called Sexy Soul Sessions with Sarah Day, and I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, bringing the entertainment again to everybody. So, you know, join me. Definitely join me. And Valentine's Day is going to be a love fest, you know. So all the lovers, the friends, family, it's a family affair. It's a free concert on the waterfront. Always a great time.
What time does it start? What's it go from? What time to what time?
It's during the day from 1 to 5. And it's right next to the Funnel House on the Shoreline Village on the boardwalk stage. Right on the boardwalk. So you're right in front of all the yachts and the boats. And they've got the yummy Funnel House. And it's going to be great. So I've got some of the baddest musicians in L.A. backing me. Play with all the stars, and it's just a real chill, you know, sexy, soulful mixture of soul, funk, R&B, and jazz, and my original music.
All right, so that's going to be February 14th from 1 to 5, Shoreline Village. Go out there, it's free, and enjoy the music.
Yeah, everybody go check out Sarah Day. She is an accomplished singer, and she's performed with many of the greats, and she's going to be doing that show with the greats. So go see Sarah Day.
Exactly.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
And they can also go to sarahday.com, SARAHDAYE.com, and I have all my links to social media, merchandise, my music, a mixture of my music, from R&B, pop, soul, house music, EDM.
Great.
Something for everybody, you know. I just like sharing good music, uplifting people's spirits. And we need more love right now more than ever. I was listening in to you guys, and you know, I'm sharing the love. I love Mexico. I've been to Mexico 7 times before I came to America. I'm from Canada.
Yeah.
So I'm a Canadian artist, and we need to come together and support each other, you know, and I'm all about just unity and community.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah.